Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Wow, we are back, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara Sharinian.
And my name is Rich.
Rich over there barely can put your headphones on because your hair is just...
That's why I got the behind...
That's out of control, dude.
Behind the head.
Anyone remember
headsets.
Bozo the Clown?
I remember Bozo.
That's what your hair is like.
Yeah.
So, you and I drove to the station today.
Oh,
in,
yes.
A brand spanking new to me...
2005
Prius.
Toyota. Did you get the one with the jet engine on it?
It's so cool.
It does not have a jet engine.
Oh, no, wait. You're trying to save
it doesn't,
fuel.
It doesn't
okay,
need a jet engine.
I was listening to the show last week when I was getting the podcast ready, and I talked about being a tree hugger, and then I got a new car, but I didn't actually say what kind of car, so it didn't quite make sense when I was saying how
yeah.
I was a big tree hugger. So I got a Prius. Very happy about
it's
that.
It's awesome.
Yep. As our wonderful listeners know, I went up to Vegas to get this car from someone selling it in Vegas. And then I bought a warranty.
Man, we're all going to Vegas lately. You went to Vegas. I went to Vegas.
Well, you had, what, like a strip show or something?
Yes. I was putting on a strip show in Vegas.
What did you do?
It's very lucrative business.
It was a bachelorette party, right?
No.
That you had to perform in?
I really wish it was. And actually, I was very, very flattered by the fact that one of the strippers actually asked me if I was a porn star.
Very
but,
nice.
But I think I had the feeling maybe she was being just polite. But no, it was my friend's bachelor party, so.
Sweet. I'm going to a wedding like in a week and a half or something, 2 weeks.
Awesome.
No bachelor party for me, though, because that already happened.
Well, you can make up for that by drinking all their alcohol.
That's also an option, but I don't want to come home hungover. But I'll remember that, and I'll think of you. But anyway, I was just saying, I thought to myself, I want to be nice, because the guy gave me a good deal, so I was going to mention his name, Patty. At the Fletcher Jones Toyota dealership in Vegas on
Tahira
Boulevard. Patty's he's Filipino.
Oh,
it was
I
very
see.
Nice. I was there, you know, my roommate. He has friends all over the place. A very nice belly dancer lady drove me around for 2 days while I was preparing to buy this car.
Wow.
Yes.
There
so
two hello. Whole days.
Yeah. It was supposed to be 1 day. But it was two. Anyway, so thank you, Patty, for giving me a wonderful warranty on the car that was used. Because who wants to buy a used car and not have a warranty?
You know what? I have a very brief non-video game related story that I'd like to relate to everybody.
It's better
I've
be brief.
I've got time.
You know, in Vegas, when I was there, guess who I met? Alon knows. I don't think Rich knows.
I do know the answer.
I have not a clue.
Well, I'll just tell you. So I'm walking around and I just wander into this room and there's some kind of like celebrity poker tournament. So I'm just like, whatever.
Wander into the room at the Hard Rock Cafe, right?
At the Hard Rock Cafe, yes. Thank
okay,
you.
Not just like wandering around your hotel.
You know,
just in the street. And
I just
like,
assume
oh,
that people know what
there.
I'm talking about. So sometimes I forget these important words. But
okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you know, I turn around and who's behind me? It's Kevin Flippin' Smith.
Oh, dude.
So I was like...
Rich is beaming right now.
I was like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. You don't want me to make a short story of it now, do you?
Kevin Smith is amazing.
Wow, this is Kevin Smith. So I was just like, I'm going to introduce myself to him. You know? So I went up to him, and I talked to him for a couple minutes. And he was just totally cool. And I'm sure that every word I was saying was just completely incomprehensible. And despite that, he was still ridiculously cool. And I was like, you know, hey, you know, let's take a picture. You know, if you're agreeable to it, you know, cause, you know, my ex-girlfriend will S a brick when she sees it. So, you know, we took a picture and it was totally black. So I was like, wait a minute, let's find a light source. And he was just so cool. You know, he was just completely like, I've never really had, I don't think I've had like a celebrity confrontation before.
Really?
Well, not like a real celebrity, like video game celebrities. And they're always afraid of me. But, you know, like a non-video game celebrity, like a real celebrity, I haven't.
Like Kevin Smith.
Like Kevin Smith.
Dude,
and
you know
I
that
was...
chick who won the gold in ice skating when it was a big controversy with the kneecaps thing and whatever?
Yeah.
Oksana Baiul.
Yeah.
She was walking around the mall where I grew up and I went and like said hi to her.
Wow. Was...
Nice.
Well, yeah. See,
and later
like...
she went and like drunk drove into a tree or something.
If it's someone you know who's famous but you don't care about... Like, then it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
But then if you, like, if you're actually, you know, an admirer of them, then it's still kind of weird because now you're just kind of like going all over them. And
so what's cooler, being in Kevin Smith's movie or meeting him in person so he actually met you?
Well, I did mention you, Alon, actually, since you were in the movie.
I thought you were just blowing smoke when I talked to you the other day.
No, I actually mentioned because I was like, I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm like, okay, you know, I want to try to like seduce this guy into being my friend, you know, because
okay.
I'm
Let's
so manipulative
make him be on
and
the
everything.
Show.
And anyway, like, I actually didn't go that far, you know, because I was just so starstruck.
So you didn't really try to seduce Kevin Smith?
I wish I did. What I'm saying is that I wish I did, and I regret not doing so.
He is married.
But I did. Well, you know, there
Minor
are all
details.
Kinds of levels of seduction, you know, many of which have nothing to do with any kind of sexual activities.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, I mentioned you, and of course, you didn't know what I was talking about, and... Anyway, you know, I'm sure Kevin Smith...
Wait, he knows about his movie.
He knows, but he didn't know who I was talking
about.
You see,
the guy that you said was attractive on your DVD.
I know. I tried to explain that, but you see, when you're in front of Kevin Smith for the first time, sometimes it doesn't come out as nicely.
I don't know. I stopped being starstruck years ago after I met Miyamoto for the first time. I was just like, oh, got that out of my system.
Right. Well, you know, it was weird. You know, like, I didn't even know why I was stumbling. Just one of those weird things. Anyway... yeah, so like Kevin Smith, if you're listening, you know, give us a call or whatever. You know, we'd like to have you on the show. I'm sure you'll never listen to this.
But,
hey, if anybody knows Kevin Smith, you know, have him give us a call. 866-536-1100.
He did seem like a good guy. So
he was awesome. I was like, you're just so cool. You deserve like more money than anyone in the world.
Well, I just got a call from someone at work the other day who doesn't work in my department, but she's just like, hey, what school did you go to? Were you in that movie with Kevin Smith?
I was
like,
nice.
An evening with Kevin Smith.
So, yeah, so people...
Good stuff.
People still recognize me from that all the time. Anyway, we've got a couple minutes left in this segment. Of course, we don't have enough time to actually talk about anything legitimate, about actual video games, just relaying stories.
Why don't we go down what we want to try to talk about this week and then see if we can do it.
That's what I was hoping to do. So you really want to talk about the video game salary survey.
Yeah, because, you know, I hate to do the thing that we've done before where we say we're going to talk about something for about 3 consecutive weeks and then we don't talk about it and then we
like
forget
the,
about it.
Like the what makes video games good?
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of talked about that.
Because we did the why they suck, but we didn't do the why they're good.
Well,
anyway,
that'll come back, I promise.
Salary survey, yes.
Salary
I find
survey.
It interesting. Maybe you guys will, maybe you won't. I don't know. We'll see.
I saw it.
I also want to talk about video game conventions in general because Rich brought something to my attention before the show today that bothered me a little bit. The E for All convention. I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll bring it up later. But something about E for All isn't so for all, in my opinion.
Well, I really wish they'd done the M Not for All convention, but hey, that's just me.
So I would like to cover that for a few minutes. Certainly, we've got people in live chat talking. If they have a topic they want to discuss, they're welcome to put it up there. Also, you guys seem to want to talk about games.
Yes.
I don't know when
we've
actually talking about games.
Unreal
what?
Tournament 3.
This is a first for me in a very long time, which that wouldn't make it a first anymore, but I digress. Now that I've got my Gamefly subscription, I'm receiving game after game relentlessly.
And having no time to actually play them.
No. Time to play it enough to complain about it.
Okay.
So, you know,
at what
I've
point
got all it, kinds of games I want to talk
the,
about.
What's the stage of interaction with gaming to you? Is it the first things you see are complaining and then you pass a threshold to the point that you might enjoy it? Or is it like the levels of psychology where it's first comes complaints and then comes acceptance and then enjoyment and then, you know... upset because the game's over or something.
That's an interesting way to put it, and I've never really quite analyzed it so carefully.
Because you can complain about stuff right off the bat before you become attached to it.
Yes.
Oh, this menu works poorly, and the character names, and later on you decide, oh, that stuff doesn't matter so much, I actually like the game part.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, to honestly address the issue, I think that it kind of just, it's just random. It just depends on what the game is, right? Sometimes I'll hate a game in the beginning and I could love it later and maybe vice versa.
I think you definitely tend to, not you personally, but people in general tend to complain right off the bat. And then all the little things they complain about that were so like in the forefront disappear when they actually start playing the game and they accept the little
it's
things
possible.
That don't make a real difference.
It's definitely easier to complain than doing a lot of things. I'll be the first person
to your life
to
is essentially
that.
Leading the path most easily traveled.
I would not... say that. That's an accurate characterization, my friend.
Okay. We'll be back after the break to talk more about those things we just said we'd talk about.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara Shirinian.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
Sexy Rich.
And yeah. Now we used to have a AAA show, and then we didn't because the third A went away. But now I guess we're our show.
Oh, the AAA? The yeah. Alon and
now,
Ara and Andrew?
Now it's a double AR show.
R. No, that's when we go R.
Or it's like a pirate show.
Well, it's two A's and one R, and not like one A and two R's.
So that's
we could put him first and just go rah, rah, rah.
Rah.
Or you can spell my name.
Or we can talk about video games about? And how to get into the industry by visiting uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you can go to school to learn how to make games.
And you'll find out how much you'll make pretty soon.
Because we're going to talk about the salary that people make. Now, is that something we want to go through right now, or we want to talk about a game?
You know what? I was thinking about doing it later, but I mean, what the heck? We can do it now.
This is a big topic for you.
Yeah, it
this
is.
This hits close to home.
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? Okay, so Game Developer Magazine, or I guess they're the governing body that makes that magazine, does a salary survey every year. And, you know, for those of you who are not in the video game development business...
Essentially all the listeners.
You may be interested to know that, you know, making a video game, there are, at least the way that they've done it, there's about five different tracks you can go down, right? There's five different kind of like categories of employment, right? And so in the salary survey, they broke it down by those categories, and, you know, they basically asked, hey, how much you making, right? So I thought it would be interesting just to kind of rattle off how much everyone's making. And then, I don't know, if you guys find it to be interesting, maybe we can say a few words on it or whatever.
Right. First of all, what are the categories involved?
So we've got art and animation, which they like to lump together. Okay? This is what... If you're an artist, you either do, like, art, like character modeling or background or animation. They just lump them all together into one category. There's programming.
That's the Code Monkeys.
The Code Monkeys, although... You shouldn't call them Code Monkeys because they make more than everybody else. So
they do the hard job.
So you know they're maybe the rich Code Monkeys, I guess. There's game design.
That's you.
Which is me, and I don't know why, but they lump writing into this, like script writing.
That is kind of
really because they don't want to make a whole category for writing.
Probably
another graph,
and they don't want to make the writers feel bad. And that's kind of a weird stat that they put up there, which we'll get to. And then there's production, which, you know, production is very vague. This is kind of like a semantic thing.
That's basically management.
But they're calling producers and executive producers production, right? And then we've got, at the end, finally, last but... Unfortunately least, game testers and quality assurance.
This is the job you're most likely to have if you decide to get into the industry.
Right.
Where at least you would probably start out at.
Now, a lot of people ask... You know, who are interested in getting into game design or just even just game production or development in general, you know, oh, I heard that, you know, the best way to do it is to be a tester. And it's funny.
Well, it used to just be, how do you do it? Everyone said, be a tester.
Right.
Now everyone knows you should be a tester.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's funny that this hasn't come up until now, you know, because I've been here, you know, a year plus. But I don't think getting in as a tester is actually a very good way at all to get into the game development business. But we can
Why
get
not?
To that later.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let's get to that later.
All right, so, and you remind me if I forget, because, you know, it's actually very intriguing. Okay, so, guess how much art and animation makes?
I am
$162,000.
Okay, average salary, and this is for, what was it, I think it's for 06,
I'm going to say 52 grand.
It's 65,107.
All right, now this is all skewed towards California, though, because everyone entering is from California.
Well, it may be, but this is like straight up all experience levels, all positions, the straight up average is 65K. Now, if you have three or less years of experience, that bumps you down to about 42K.
That's a big difference.
So, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, let's go to programming. How much do you think programmers make?
Well, I'm guessing experienced programmers easily break 100 and can hit 150. And starting out, you're probably at 50.
Well, Rich had a really good guess.
What was his guess?
The average straight up, he had guessed 82.
82,000.
I was going to guess 80 for mid-level.
Yeah, straight up average is 80,886.
Oh,
which
I went over.
That's a pretty penny.
Bomb. I went just under.
You don't win the showcase showdown today. Now here's the funny thing is that if you have 3 or less years of experience, you make somewhere between 57 and 65K. So
it's a little more than I thought.
It's a lot less than 80, but it's a lot more than if you were an artist. So if you want to go for the big bucks, then you should be a programmer. The thing is, you know, I don't envy a lot of these programmers because when, you know, the nose needs to go to the grindstone and when the project is, you know, starting to wrap up and stuff, it's the programmers who are there at all hours of the night more than anybody else.
Yeah. Well, they work a lot of hours. They probably work twice as many hours as I do, so they make twice as much.
That would be an accurate description, yes.
Okay.
Now, game design. Guess what the average for game design is.
I'm going to guess it's on the lower end.
It's less than programming. To my chagrin, it is less than art and animation.
But it is more than testers.
It is more than testers.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, you know.
Little bit more than testers.
Never mind the fact that design is just basically the essence of a game. Forget that. But, 61,000 is the average.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that each one of these components, except maybe production, is absolutely necessary to make the game happen. So missing the art or missing the programming or missing the game design, any one of those missing, including testing, will probably result in a really crappy game.
Well, you know what's interesting, too, is that there's actually quite a few studios that don't have designers. And so you could even say that you don't need a designer to make a game.
They have designers. It's just that everyone on the team is part of the design team.
Well, basically, like, the programmers end up being the designers.
Somebody has to design it at
some point. Or the art. But there's no, like, one person or one category of people that say, okay, we're going to focus on design. And these types of games, you can actually tell if you're astute enough that they don't have designers.
These could be good games, though, because when you have a small group working on a game they're passionate about, right? The design flows, although the design will probably be inefficient.
Yeah. Well, I think it just comes down to whether the person if doing the programming or the art, if they happen to also do design, if they actually have design sense or not. So, it's a very particular skill. Sometimes a person who is very specialized does it, and they're a designer. Sometimes a person who's dabbling in other things, a programmer can have really awesome design sense, and so can an artist. And when they do, as much cross-discipline skill there is, I think it makes for all the better. But anyway, and here's the weird thing, right? All right. If you have less than 3 years of experience, you make about 45K as a designer, which isn't too bad. I'm actually kind of happy because I'm a little bit above average, so that makes me pretty happy.
Now, do these
were you
numbers
when you were first starting out?
Let's see. As a designer, yeah, actually. I did start up a little higher than normal.
Nicely done.
But that was I could have asked for more, If I knew how much they liked me, I could have asked for so much more.
Now, do these averages include people like Will Wright?
Probably not. Now, when they took this survey,
makes a lot of money.
Well, what they said was they basically took, all the data that they got, and then there were a few outliers that they cropped out. They said, look, if you make more than 200K, then we're going to ignore you.
Yeah.
You're Cliffy B. Or Will Wright.
Right. And if you make less than whatever, then we're going to ignore you too.
What I'd like to know is how much the big Japanese dogs make. Because, I imagine they throw some money at Miyamoto, but, you don't hit celebrity status. Like, in those countries, I don't think it's the same.
Well, here's the interesting thing is that I don't know how it is for, the marquee names, but I have been told that for the, average game developer, they actually make a lot less in Japan than they do here. And there's actually a lot more competition, and it's a lot harder to get into the industry in Japan than it is here. So all you guys here who are clamoring for this type of job, you're lucky.
Yeah, it's not so unexpected.
Okay, let's go into production. So guess what the average salary is for producers and executive producers?
Some ridiculous amount.
/ project lead. Actually, it's only about 77K, right? But if you're an executive producer with 6 years of experience, the average salary is about 127K.
Yeah.
So nice and cushy there, right?
I wonder if these numbers mean anything to our listeners. I don't even think we have a really good idea of what the mean age of our listenership is.
Well, I guess if they're all in college, I don't know, even in college, like, I think I had some kind of sense of what a big salary was.
You start to get that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, we got a couple people waiting to talk to us on the phones. If you want to give us a call, it's 866-536-1100. We'll be taking those calls right after the break.
We got the tester data coming up.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
All right, we're back. Alon and Ara and Rich.
That's my name.
We're going to finish up the salary stuff, get right to a couple callers.
Okay, so let's do this real quick.
Let's do it.
Now, guys, thoughts. Okay, we had programmers, 80K, production, 77K, art and animation, 65K, designers, 61K. Guess how much testers make?
20.
Rich?
32.
Okay, actually, you guys have both gone under. It's 37K. For testers at all levels, which means
that's
even
terrible.
Yeah, well, that's including all levels. The intro tester is going to make 20.
That's including leads and including people who have done it for over 6 years. Okay. Now, if you've got 3 or fewer years of experience, you can expect to make about 26K.
Yep.
There you go.
Which is really crappy.
Yeah, it's below livable wage in, well, I don't know about below livable, but pretty close to livable wage in a place like California.
Now you may be asking me, you know, since I mentioned it before, Ara, why is it not a good idea to be a tester? You can get that job so much more easily than any of these other positions. And I'm going to answer this very, very succinctly by simply saying that, okay, at the studio I work at, there's about, let's see.
A lot of people?
There's about, I think there's like about 100 testers, okay, including like the upstairs,
yeah.
Right?
And they've got it split up with like Rainbow and THQ Corporate. Whatever.
And there's about 10 designers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why it's not a good idea.
Because of high competition.
Yeah.
But a lot
of these kids are just like, they're people in school, whatever, getting a job for a short time and they'll move on.
Well, no, certainly, right?
But people who really care will shine through.
Here's my point, right? Is that there are, if you want to get into one of the other tracks, I'm not saying it's definitely bad. There's a way to do it. The thing is, the way that this kind of story got very popular is because, you know, many years ago, I don't know, like 5-10 years ago, right, there wasn't this huge amount of disparity between the number of testers and the people making the games, right? So you could get into a company, right, there's a few testers at the company, and then you could go up that way through the ranks because, you know, there wasn't competition for the other fields just all by themselves, right? Now there's tons of testers, there's a far fewer, far scarcer actual production positions, which, you know, those positions are actually, you know, they're in there's a lot of competition for, and there's competition for the tester positions, right? So you've just got all these odds stacked up against you if your goal is to, you know, become a programmer by starting off as a tester. Now, there's a lot of valuable things you can learn as a tester, but personally, if you really want to be a programmer, I would say just stop what you were doing and start effing programming right now, or designing, or art, or whatever.
XNA is a good way to do that, by the way. The thing is, though, what's the analogy or the saying that the cream rises to the top or something like that?
Yeah. Well, it does, but here's the thing about the corporate culture is that, you know, only some of the cream can rise to the top now, right? So, I mean, if you've got bad luck, you know, so you might have to take matters into your own hands.
Well, I think you'll agree that you definitely will have easier access to people who can make a decision or notice you if you're already in the company.
Yeah.
In a test position versus a dude who's just outside.
Well, certainly. Hey, I thought I could get into the game development business because I was in the game press. And I said, oh, I'll just do this for a year. I'll make contact. I'll schmooze everybody. It'll be easy. I was doing that for 4 years before. And even then, the only reason why I got into development was because I quit my job. Okay, I started making a portfolio of myself, and somebody actually liked my work. So that stuff, you might get lucky. I'm not saying you might not. but it can only go so far sometimes.
Aura, he got lucky.
I am a very lucky person. I'll be the first to admit.
All right, Pen15 asks, Aura, how do you get into the game industry with no actual talent?
Okay, that's going to be, I think, another episode.
I think that's when you become a tester, actually.
You do that, or you can you become a fantastic
liar?
BS artist. Yes, a liar.
Thinking exactly what you said.
But then on the other hand, that also requires talent.
All right. So we've got a couple callers. First, we've got Bobby from Fremont, California. You are on the air.
Hello?
Bobby.
Hey, what's up, Bobby?
That's Brian.
Okay, well, our thing said Bobby, so you're going to be Bobby for the rest of the show. So,
that sounds good.
So what's up?
All right. A while back, when you did the show on the Virginia Tech shootings.
Yes.
And they were telling people that they need to go out and read the game.
I did say that. I said you should read the game so that instead of shooting kids, you should be at home learning how to get girls, because if you're getting laid, you won't want to shoot people.
Exactly. Have you been watching The Pickup Artist?
You know, I saw the first episode because I didn't even know it was happening. And then I found out and I TiVo'd the first episode and then I totally forgot that it even exists.
You know what's pissing me off about that show?
What?
All of this great material now will be identified and recognized by millions of hot girls everywhere.
Yeah.
I know. Man, I'm pissed.
That sort of ruins it for the rest of us. But if you're good, it doesn't matter. I'm wondering, have you been watching it? Was this your first exposure to the world?
No. I picked up the book on your recommendation.
Sweet.
And then I later found out about the show.
You have saved lives.
It's too bad that you didn't order it through the link on the website so I could make like a buck or something. I hope you enjoyed the book, did you?
Absolutely.
I, of course, had absolutely nothing to do with the book, but I read it, and it's good stuff, and I hope people will listen to you and go out and buy it as well, because it's, I don't know if it's life-affirming, but it's definitely, it improves your life.
Yes, and Neil Strauss, if you're listening, or if anybody knows him, please tell him to call us. We'd like to have him on the show.
Yeah, Ara and I are big fans.
866-536-1100.
All right, so has this changed anything to do with your life involving video games?
Not necessarily, but I have, after reading the book, had an easier time talking to women.
That's good. Now, one thing I've noticed in my life is that more confident and capable of talking to women and discussing video games and not feeling ashamed about it.
Right?
Usually, in the past, you talk to chicks, whatever, you don't ever want to say what you do. Like, I go out to a bar with Ara, it's like, oh, I design video games. Yeah, and we do a radio show about video games, and I mean, those are special cases, but like, we can talk about it. It's like, I don't feel ashamed. Crap, you don't like games? You go jump off a cliff or whatever. I'm going to go play some Sudoku and some Picross, which I really wanted to talk about.
I think that was one of Mystery's patterns right there.
Picross is a good game. I just discovered it recently. Anyway, listen, thank you for the call. We're going to move on. Certainly, everybody, you should go buy that book by Neil Strauss. Did you even remember that we talked about that on a show once?
Oh, yeah.
That was wild.
I did, actually.
Have you read it, Rich?
No.
Shove that book down your throat.
I remember everything about that topic. It gets burned into my brain.
The Virginia Tech show?
No, just the game, the mystery method, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it so fascinating on many levels.
Well, fascinating.
We haven't talked about that too much on the show because it's not so video game related, but certainly if you're listening, you probably could use the help. So go pick it up. All right, so now we've also got Matthew from Texas, Lubbock, Texas. I hope it's Matthew. Sorry, Brian, by the way, for calling you Bobby. That's totally not my fault. I blame everyone that's not me. So, Matthew, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Matthew?
Hey, I was thinking back to when you said that programmers made the most money.
On average, yes.
On average, yeah. Well, that made me think back to EA and settling with this, you know, programmers for overtime disputes and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that like a problem specific to EA, or is that like an industry-wide problem and EA just got, you know, it's the biggest company, so they got hit hardest because of it?
I'll let Ara answer, but I think, yes, that's
yes,
the case.
Yes, it's actually, I'll first say that, you know, these salaries, obviously this EA problem, okay, what the EA problem is, for those who don't know, is that people working long hours are not getting paid for it,
yeah.
Right? So they still make the most, and, you know, I think that some of us should make more, but anyway. Yes, it is endemic to the whole industry.
Not just to video games, though. Anything that involves programming and a deadline.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is endemic definitely to video games in general, no matter what kind of job in games you have.
That's because it's entertainment and not unionized.
That has a lot to do with it. I agree. And the thing about EA, the reason why they got the most publicity is because they're probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, video game employer.
Now they are definitely the biggest.
Yeah. So they you know, that was they're the biggest target, right? So they get all the attention. It happens everywhere.
For the record, they have improved quite a bit. All the people I've talked to who have reason to actually have an opinion have said they've gotten much
better. I think a California law actually got passed. And, you know, I actually get overtime pay now.
Really?
Yeah. And
not
I think
that we're in California.
We're not. Well, I won't get, I would have gotten more in California.
All right. Well, we got to go to break, but we'll talk more about it when we get back.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the final encounter of Chatterbox Video Game Radio for this week. My name's Ara Shirinian.
I'm Alon.
And I'm Rich.
Now, before we move on, I got to remind everybody once again to head over to uat.edu. That's where you learn about the University of Advancing Technology. You still going there, huh?
I am.
And
they're almost done with the dorms.
Don't be a tester, dude. Just don't be a tester.
No, I'm not planning on being a tester.
Good. What are you planning on being?
Not exactly sure, but I'm not going to be a tester.
All right, so we've still got Matt with us. We got to talk about E for All, and then, but before we do that, I wanted to finish up with him. We were talking about something. Remind me what we were talking
money?
About.
Money?
I don't even remember what's going on.
We're talking about Matthew.
I was just so busy smoking a doobie, man. I'm sorry, dude.
All right, so what?
Drug reference one.
What were your other questions that we wanted to cover before we move on?
Yeah, I just want one question to Ara specifically.
That's fine. Listen, I don't do this show anyway.
sorry. Okay, it's kind of subjective, but I was curious. Like, after all your time working, you know, in the industry, do you ever wake up and say, like, crap, I gotta go to work, or is it still like, this is like the greatest job ever? I gotta, you know, I just still love it.
Wow. You know what? Like, I mean, when I was press, I got a little bit jaded with that, and there were some days where I was like, crap, I gotta go to work. But that was because I didn't like some of the people I worked with. But I have to say, and you know, really, I can't attribute it all to just having this job. But yeah, I don't know. I feel really, really lucky. I mean, I'm just like, I'm doing work that I don't consider real work. So to me, that's just the perfect kind of job, you know.
Definitely, yeah.
That was me when I did that porn star stint a few years ago.
That's well, you know, that would be even more exciting.
Yeah. Now, I think, really, no matter what you're doing, if you do the same thing over and over and over every single day, and, like, if the people you're around you don't like, then you're not going to want to go there. But if you can...
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Absolutely.
If you can get along well and, you know, with the people that you have to deal with every day, and you're doing something that interests you inherently, then you're going to like it. Unfortunately, I still haven't had the opportunity to even see the Rainbow offices yet. Haven't even gotten that invite.
Oh, yeah.
We should storm the place.
There's an open invite.
See, now, your boss is welcome into the studio anytime, and he does it. Yeah. He comes on in.
Ex-boss, you know.
But then, me, no.
All right, I hear you.
Doors closed.
We can arrange something.
End of production cycle, still not even.
Can we bring cameras and take pictures?
Thank you for the call, Matthew. I appreciate it. We're going
to
move on, talk a little bit about E for All.
Thing.
What are you guys talking about? Was it some kind of convention for kids or something?
All right, so E3 died its little death, which I'm convinced really only happened because they took the boobs out of it. I don't know if people noticed. They said no girls. They had one E3, and then all the business suit guys were like, what? No boobs? Oh, they were serious.
You know what?
All right, screw it. We're not coming back.
You know what the Taoist monks call the little death?
No.
Guess.
Okay, no.
I don't know if I could say it.
Well, I can't tell you since I don't know what the answer is.
Because you said I can't say anything that involves the dispersal of bodily fluids.
Then you were right. We can't say it.
That's the little death.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on.
Well, that makes sense.
Nice. I just wanted to put that in there.
Okay.
Thank you, Ara.
I don't know where it came from, but good job. E for All. E3 died. Again, really, because I think they took the boobs out of it. And then E for All comes along and they say, hey, this is for everybody. And what's great is... Everybody actually not even showing up. Isn't it like all of the big guys not showing up?
Sony, I think, is the word on the street is they're pretty much just not going to show up at all. And I think Microsoft right now is a maybe.
Last I heard, they were a no.
But I think it's a maybe.
Here's the best part. As a consumer, as someone who's wanted to go to one of these big shows for years, you've heard about E3, you've heard about GDC, and now PAX is huge. PAX, by the way, was awesome. It's the way to run a show.
PAX is fun.
Yeah. Gabe put on the site recently, I think on Friday, he talked about what made it successful, and he's, you know, how it's the community that already exists. Rather than building a community around a product, the community's there, and they built the product to fit the community. And that worked out really well, and that's a magic that you can't really reconstruct. E4All is trying to do this big convention for everybody to go to, then nobody's actually showing up to make it interesting. And on top of that, they're charging more money than the really good show that's PAX.
It's $90.
Did you say it was $95?
$90?
I checked. It's $90 for the 4-day pass.
Yeah, this is for all. Now, honestly, like GDC is like $1,000. So
yeah, but like GDC is something only corporations will pay for.
I mean,
but once you get above like the $50 range, I think that starts to approach like a lot of people who would normally say, yeah, let's do it.
For a first year thing, like they're just testing the waters. I don't think they even have the right. Like I've never been to one of these Comic Cons or whatever fests or something, but
I don't think
they don't charge a lot of money.
I don't know. I've always snuck in.
They're typically not expensive.
I just pretend I'm press.
I figured
I'm
it wouldn't be a lot of money. And now they're trying to charge $95 to get in when they can't even get the content in the show. It just seems a little bit silly.
So it's gonna be 4 days of boredom.
If anybody wants to go as a Chatterbox representative, I'm pretty sure we can probably sign you up. We could, send 20, 30 people down?
We could probably get them in as press.
They have a cap?
And then they get in for free, right?
Well, yeah, that's my point. Press always gets in as free.
That's right. That's the way to do it.
And then we would have a big Chatterboxer community, everybody submitting their take on the various products and things that they see. And what, there's going to be at least 5 products to show at the event, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is something else I want to talk about before we go. We've only got a minute, and I promised myself I would. All right, so E4All lame. Do we get the overall lame approval stamp?
Yep.
I guess.
All right.
I don't know too
high
much about...
High potential for lameness.
Computers. The only reason I would want to go is to meet with my other friends who would go to this event. But it has nothing to do with
I'm
the actual
going,
event.
Just because there's going to be other people there to hang out with.
Well, you meet up with the whole Detoid crew, right?
Yeah.
Destructoid. Right. So that's the only reason I want to go, but the event itself wouldn't attract me at all, and in fact, I'm not going to be able to go, so it doesn't matter for me. But one thing we saw at PAX, we never talked about this.
What did we do?
The people who make HeroClix, WizKids.
Oh, yeah.
They were cool. They gave us some stuff to give away at the Chatterbox Treasure Box. We got stuff that hadn't even been released yet. Master Chief
ActionClix cool
figures, which they went very quickly. People
loved
them.
Yeah, people like those
but
for some reason.
Do you remember the Scarab?
Dude, that thing was huge. And
Ara
like,
has no idea
that.
About this thing. All right, you see this thing that holds our mics in front of us?
Yes,
it is a pedestal of sorts.
Imagine this, 50% taller.
Okay.
All right, that is a single ActionClix figure.
What?
For the Halo universe of ActionClix.
The Scarab. Oh, it looks
so
cool.
But just that one is that big? The rest of them are thumb size?
It was 300 points, which is basically $300.
The Master Chiefs are as big as your thumb. Right, and the Scarab is this $300 piece of plastic equipment. It comes out in like November, but they had an early one that they were giving away at PAX. And it's seriously like 2 feet wide by a couple feet tall.
And what do you do,
like
whip it out when you want to like crush an army of invaders or something?
I don't know enough about ActionClix to know how you would even like the point of ActionClix. You bring like a little sack with your little figures, right? And you go to an event.
Yeah.
Right? If you bring the Scarab, don't you just automatically win?
I mean,
you should automatically.
I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to hide. They're like, oh, guess what I'm going to bring out now? Oh, it's because you've seen it behind me the whole time.
And let's say you want to have a big event, right? A big game of Halo ActionClix, right? And you want to have an army. They're like, do you have to pack 5 of them in your car and someone else packs 5 in his car and you set out a battlefield like the giant chess pieces in the park?
I can only see worse and worse things.
They had other characters that were only half as large, right? But it was big. I really want one just because it was a cool figure. But I wanted to mention it because they were one of our sponsors and we hadn't mentioned them in the past. And they were really cool. And that Scarab thing, I mean, it's a lot of money, but damn, it was really cool.
If I could have taken it for free, I would have.
And
just put it in my room.
Yeah, we're probably going to bring that up again in a couple weeks when we start talking about Halo 3 because, of course, it will be out soon. Really, I'm looking more forward to Super Mario Galaxy.
Dude, tomorrow Sonic 2 is going to be on XBLA. I'm going to download that.
Oh, yay.
All right, anything else?
I think I'm all done, dude.
All right, thanks for the calls, everybody. We'll be back talking about more stuff next week. Stay tuned, as always, chatterboxgameshow.com.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.